If Jesus were to come today, would you be ready to go to heaven? Would you have an immediate answer to this question? Many people are not sure. Bill, please help us to understand from God's Word how we can be sure that we are ready for heaven.
Thank you, Roy, and thank you, friend, for bringing me to your home again today. We continue in this Search for Truth video series. How can you be ready for heaven? Well, did you know that the moon is 239,000 miles away? That's a long way, isn't it? And at the rate of 40 miles a day, it would take us 17 years to reach the moon. Now, if there was a railroad to the sun, 93 million miles away, and you rode a streamliner, averaging 100 miles per hour, day in, day out, year in, year out, it would take 90 years to reach the sun. But suppose you were wanting to go to the nearest big star, 19 trillion miles away, traveling on one of those rockets that leave from Cape Canaveral at the fantastic speed of 18,000 miles an hour, how long would it take to reach the star? It would only take you 122,580 years to reach that nearest big star. Ah, but heaven, the city of God, the New Jerusalem, is far, far beyond that. But you can reach it in just 3 steps if you want to. What is that first big step with Jesus? We see nothing that can enter heaven which defiles, for it is sin which defiles. The Bible gives us that message over here in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7. Do you have your Bible close by? Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7. Notice what it says. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So we are going to have to get rid of sin, aren't we? We're going to have to overcome. The problem is, the day that you and I were born, we started down a dead-end road that leads to eternal death. The only place that we can get off that road is at a place called Calvary. We need to recognize that we need a Savior in Jesus to take care of our sin problem. This is where many put off getting off this wide road. They want to experience much in the world. And unfortunately, too many of us get so scarred up, or worse yet, never find the exit in time and die an untimely death. It's good to recognize that, first of all, you and I, we're all sinners, according to Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when you put with that passage, Romans 6:23, it says, the wages of sin is death. But I'm glad it doesn't finish there. It goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, friend, Jesus came and rescued us from certain death. He came to Calvary and shed his spotless blood for all mankind. He did it while we were yet sinners, according to Romans 5, verse 8. And imagine this. If I had been the only person on planet Earth to save, Jesus would have come to planet Earth just for you, just for me. So the first step is that you and I need to confess that we are sinners. We are in need of a Savior. And since we're born with sinful natures, we need cleansing through and through. And that comes only by Jesus Christ. Notice this passage over here in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. Notice what it says. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Notice it takes the blood of Jesus Christ. I'd like to illustrate that for just a moment. There is a place in Yellowstone Park. I don't know if it's still operative. It was called the Handkerchief Pool. And people from all over America came to this national park and came to this particular place because it was unusual. What was unusual about it, this very, very hot pool of water had a hole in the very center of it. And people would bring their dirty laundry just to see nature's washing machine at work. As they would take a pole with a hook on it and put their dirty laundry out on that hook and then drop it in the center of the pool, they'd see it being sucked down through that hole. But never fear, in just a few seconds, out from that hole would come their laundry, no longer dirty, but it would be clean, pure white. What an illustration. That's just an illustration of what I think you and I need from heaven's washing machine. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, you and I can be pure. We can be made white. You and I need to recognize, though, in taking this first step, there are three conditions. First of all, we need to be truly sorry for sin. Too many of us are sorry that we get caught, not truly sorry if the opportunity arose again. Whereas true repentance causes a person real sorrow inside, sorrow for sin. And so there must be a forsaking of sin that becomes the mindset of one who comes to Jesus. Secondly, you and I must believe that when we come to Jesus as we are, that He will do just what He's promised. There in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, notice what it says. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then thirdly, we need to walk in the assurance, not in doubt, but in the assurance that we have a new life in Christ that is eternal. Not just momentarily, but eternal. We can live that eternal life here and now. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Notice what it says. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. After we've experienced cleansing and the assurance, then that brings us to a second step, and that is to receive Jesus for a complete new birth. It's important for Jesus to make us completely new, for it says in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, friend, to be born spiritually, how does that take place? Well, according to John chapter 1, Jesus says over here, But as many received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You know, the new you, because of what Jesus does in your life, He promises to give you a new heart. For Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19, tells us that He will take that stony heart and give us a new heart, a heart of flesh. What a transformation that takes place. Because of that new heart, you'll have new affections. For that's what the heart symbolizes. I'll never forget being in Russia, the northwest corner of Russia, in a place called Arkhangelsk. Her name was Helen. She was an atheist. And every night that she came to our meeting, she shook her head. She said, I don't know. You talk about a new heart, but I don't believe. How can I have a new heart? Helen one night was having a dream. And she kept hearing this song that was being sung nightly in our meetings. Take our love, Lord, make it your love. Take our life, Lord, make it your life. Take our home, Lord, make it your home. Take it all, Lord, make it yours. In the darkness that night, she said, Lord, if you're up there, can you really give me a new heart? Well, the next day she came to one of our staff members and she said, is it possible that I can receive a new heart? Our staff member said, yes, we can pray right here. And that's what they did. You should have seen Helen's face. For she said it was as though a heavy weight was taken off of her. She indeed experienced a brand new heart. Why? Because she'd given her heart to Jesus. And that's exactly what Jesus promises to do for you. For the new you includes a complete new creation, not just a makeover. Too often a makeover is only temporary, and soon the old you is revealed. But according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, notice it says, therefore, if any man, we could say any woman, be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Well, this involves a brand new lifestyle, doesn't it? The way you act, what you do, the way you look, even what you eat enters into this lifestyle change. The new you includes also a new tongue. For Revelation 14 verse 5 talks about this unruly member of the body that is finally going to, through the power of the Holy Spirit, do something different. For it says there in that passage, it says, in their mouth is found no guile. Now, what is guile? That's gossip. Well, the new you also includes a new appetite or new desires. For Psalm 37 and verse 4 says, your desires become his desires. He gives us new desires so that the things that you used to like to, you no longer enjoy. The things you didn't like to do, as a lost sinner, you now enjoy because of your new life in Christ. So the second step is to receive Jesus in the new birth experience for a complete change. And then we're ready for the next and final step, which is more than just a step. Thirdly, we are to walk with Jesus in loving obedience. Let me share this passage over here in 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 3. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Verse 4. He who says I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Well, that's very plain, isn't it? You hear Christians say, well, I know the Lord. But if we say we know him and don't keep his commandments, it says that we are liars and the truth is not in us. But you read on in that passage, that same passage over there, and now verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. How can you tell if you've been born again? It says, whoever keeps his word. Some people say all you have to do is love, love, love. But the Bible says, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. You see, God's love will be perfected in you. When you have that desire to obey him. In the sixth verse, of that same passage, it says, "He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." Yes, friends, it's a walk. It's more than just a step. But the first step is to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior from all of our past sins. The second step is to receive Jesus Christ in the new birth. And then the third step. And it's more than a step. It's a walk. Every day of our lives, obedience gives proof that we are Christ's disciples, proof that we know Him, proof that we've received Him into our lives, and proof that we are living the Christian life. Paul said it best over here in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Every day becomes a wonderful walk with our Savior Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:2 says, "Walk in love." Well, if we walk in love, in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's the first part of 1 John 1, verse 7. Remember that Jesus will not lead you any further than you choose to be led. But if you refuse to follow where Jesus is leading, there is a danger of being in darkness. It's just like that day when I was in the fog. And I saw those lights in front of me, the lights of an 18-wheeler. The only way that I could keep going was to follow that light that was just in front of me. Otherwise, if I would have slowed down, I'd have been in darkness. You know, the Lord does the same for us. He shows us the way. He helps us follow Him by giving that light for us to follow. He recognizes how much that we need that light, and He demonstrated His love for us. And so, He came down to help us follow His leading. And then we accept His leading in our lives. If we will do it, we'll know the way. Let's review those steps again. First of all, confess, Jesus, that you are a sinner, that you are in need of a Savior in Jesus. Secondly, receive Jesus in the new birth for a complete change. And then thirdly, walk with Jesus in loving obedience. Friend, I don't know where you are in regard to these three steps, but I can promise you that if you'll take that first step and confess Jesus as your Savior, that second step comes right on the other, that you want to be born again, that you'll want to receive Jesus into your life. And then taking that third step to let Him live His obedient life in you, you'll begin to walk a life with God like you've never walked before. Right now, I invite you to make that decision. Turn your life over to Jesus. Do it now and see what He can do for you.
You know, folks, Pastor Tucker made it so easy for us to be able to understand the three steps that it takes to go right into heaven. But Bill, maybe there's some people who are listening to this program today, and they're thinking about these three steps, but they're also concerned that, well, if I make this kind of decision, what are my friends or my family going to think about my change in lifestyle? And so what advice would you have for them?
I'm very sympathetic to anyone out there who's thinking those very thoughts, because I have faced those kinds of questions from people who were trying to make a decision, but in just about every case, I shared with them if they took a step forward for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord would give them the courage to step forward, because he gives the promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will put words in your mouth what to say. And invariably, he has given the courage necessary to step forward. Even under peer pressure, under family, under whatever pressures that were put to bear. And they've been stronger for it. So I would encourage anyone who's thinking about these things, and more times than not, they do not lose out as far as their family. And if their friends forsake them, chances are they weren't the best of friends anyway. Because a true friend is going to stick to you no matter what circumstances come about.
Yes, and then there are some that just decide, well, maybe I should wait. I know that this is the right decision to make, but maybe I should just wait a little bit. What would you say to them?
Well, I've had to say to more than one who said that very thing, that the excuses they may have today will multiply tomorrow. Why? Because there is a devil out there. He does not want anyone to make the right decision as far as following the Lord is concerned. And if they have 10 reasons not to step forward today, the devil will give them 10 more tomorrow.
Right.
And it just continues on and on. And the Lord says, now is the day. There is no better time than right now.
Yes, and I guess, you know, when Jesus said that, you know, we shouldn't worry about tomorrow because we certainly have enough to deal with today.
That's right.
And you start looking forward to tomorrow, then you have even more problems to deal with.
That's right.
There are also some people who have pet sins.
Mm-hmm.
And they just like to hang on to those things as long as they possibly can. Do you think if they would persist in doing something that they know is wrong, that that would be a hindrance to them getting into heaven?
You know, the Bible makes it very clear that God wants us to overcome sin. Otherwise, he wouldn't put it there. And really, when it comes right down to it, if we can't overcome sin, what does that say about the God whom we serve?
Right.
And the reality is, if we're hanging on to some pet sin, we're choosing, really, to put that sin above our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And in reality, if we're going to hang on to that sin, we're really saying to God, I would prefer to hang on to my sin than to be with you in heaven. That's something that we need to deal with.
Well, you know, folks, I think the advice that you have received during the study today, and also with these questions that Bill and I have just finished discussing here, these are important issues. We want to see everyone in heaven. And that's why it's so important that when your instructor gives you this lesson, that you would look up each text very carefully. The three steps that Pastor Tucker outlined in the study are all listed in here. And then make sure you do the quiz sheet at the very end. It's important for you to know how much you have learned from this particular study. We know that you'll enjoy this. Put these principles into practice in your own life, and may the Lord richly bless you. Now, Bill, please pray for these people. We want to see them in heaven. Pray for them before we leave them today.
I'd love to do that. Let's just bow our heads. Father in heaven, I know that there are those out there who are struggling with the sin problem. It's something that we face every day. And Father, I pray that you will encourage each one. May they sense your presence in their lives even now. And I pray that if there are those who are wondering if they can ever overcome, may they realize that you've promised to give them victory.
Amen.
If they'll only turn it over to you in a full and complete way. You said that you're never going to force your way into anyone's life, but you have promised that once you've come in, that you will do a thorough job if we allow you to do so. I pray, Father, that you'll do just that in the lives of every individual who's reaching out to you by faith just now. And may they realize the salvation that you promised to bring to them, the eternal life that they can enjoy here and now. In Jesus' name, amen.